Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Thursday, the 10th of July. I'm Joe Donahue. It's very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Hello, Joseph. Always nice to be here on a wonderful Thursday.
It is. Very nice to be here on a wonderful Thursday. It's very,
Thursday-ish.
Cool and summery.
Very Thursday.
Political consultant.
Whatever I am.
What is it? Consultant. Consultant. Yeah. She's a consultant to political people. Libby Post is with us, and Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld joins us as well. Good morning, Ira.
Good morning,
Good
Joe.
Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
Wonderful to have you here. Thank
Good
you very
morning,
much.
Good morning, Ira.
Good morning. What a wonder! I was so pleased that I was able to escape my community, not for negative reasons, but I was expecting a traffic jam this morning because there's a big music festival right on the thruway exit at Saugerties. But fortunately, when I left the house wee hours, it was okay. But keep an eye out if you're heading our way. There is a big concert this weekend.
What is that?
It's called the Hudson Project.
And, oh, that's right. That's the Michael Lang thing, right?
Yeah, among others. And it's a three-day thing that essentially gets underway today with camping. And I must confess, most of the music—
You going camping, are you?
No. And not only that, unlike Woodstock 94, which drew a couple of 100,000 to that site, they're only expecting about 20,000. And I'm not sure if it's because of the limits. They've got it down pat. Or because of the acts. I must confess, and it says more about me than them, I've never heard of anybody who's going to be there. But I'm told, as Ed Sullivan used to say, the kids like them. So, so anyway, it should be a great thing for the community, but be aware of it if you're going that way.
All right. That was our traffic report from one Ira Fussfeld, and we appreciate that.
Do I have my helicopter imitation?
Where's Les Nessman when you need him? Let's go on to the issues of the day. We have several to discuss this morning, and we'll begin with... let's start with the one that I can actually open.
I have an apology to make first. Is that okay? Yeah. I had on one of our discussions we were just talking about the theater scene in Berkshire County, and I, meaning more uptown, more serious theater, described Williamstown as snottier. I didn't mean it. It was just one of those things that came rushing out of my mouth and my nose, my ears. And I want to publicly apologize for saying that, because what I meant was serious, as opposed to, because some of the places do wonderful theater and, musicals and things like that. And Williamstown is always a little bit more serious in their dedication to the arts.
Okay. I saw a picture that Joe was in with the cast of a production in Williamstown, and what struck me, as it does every summer when I hear this program and read about what is going on in the Berkshires and Williamstown in particular, is the number of very well-known actors who come up there to perform.
Because
did you know all the people in that picture?
I only knew four or five of them, the four or five were people who have been around the block.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful festival. They've been going for years.
They've been great friends of ours, and we've done broadcasts over there.
We love them very much. We like them very much. So there.
Okay. Let's get down to the news of the day.
All right.
Shall we, boys?
Are you ready, Libby?
Yes,
You seem very ready. President Obama went to Texas yesterday. He directly challenged Governor Rick Perry of Texas to rally Republicans to support a $3.7 billion emergency measure aimed at solving the humanitarian crisis caused as thousands of Central American children have crossed the Mexican border. The president described a frank exchange with Governor Perry, who has been one of his most vocal critics after their private meeting aboard the presidential helicopter and then at Dallas Love Field. The meeting was hastily negotiated as the border crisis came to shadow Mr. Obama's previously planned trip to Texas and Colorado to raise campaign money and talk about an improving economy. I had a separate article on this, and I don't know, I didn't include it, but it was also this whole thing about there was some criticism on the president for not actually going to the border, which he said.
It was in this one,
and he said, "I don't want it to be a photo op. I want to address the situation. I don't want it to be a photo op," which I thought was interesting as well. Alan, you want in on this first?
No, I'd rather that Libby went first.
Well, I think the Republican Party is sounding more and more like Chicken Little every single day, because every time you say Obama, to them, the sky is falling, and he is the reason for every single thing that's wrong in this country, from somebody's hangnail to what's going on at the border. And they refuse to do anything that will help in any of these situations for fear, absolute fear, of giving him an inch, of making him look good. And what they're doing is just tearing apart the fabric of our country. And we need to do something. This is a humanitarian crisis down there. And there was I always go on Facebook just to see what the memes are. And there was a meme about, you know, if...
What's a meme?
I mean, it's a picture with type and to send a message.
Okay, yeah.
And there was a graphic where it basically said, if you're only concerned with the children before they're born, I mean, this was basically the message, and not after they're born, as in what's going on in the humanitarian crisis on the border, there's something wrong, and you use it all on religious beliefs, there's something wrong there.
Well, let me just add one thing to this. I think that you're right. It is humanitarian, but it's also politically astute on the part of Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He gets with one of his most vocal critics. He asks the Congress for $3 billion to correct it. As you just pointed out, as always insightfully, the choice now for the Republicans is he's calling our bluff.
Right.
He's saying, you know, we need $3 billion to shut down that border. And they are going to say too much money or no.
Or we don't trust that you'll spend it the right way.
The right way or whatever they're going to say. And he gets the advantage.
I don't totally agree with you about that. I agree everything that Libby said, and I agree with what you said up to a point, and that is he did politically make the right move by requesting the money. He did politically make the right move by meeting with the governor. But he did not go far enough, and he by dismissing going to the border and suggesting it was nothing more than a photo op, absolutely it was a photo op, and it was a photo op that was necessary. He needed to go down and show that he was there looking at it. He did not need to have the distraction to his critics of fundraisers. Why was he going to fundraisers when he could have been devoted 100% while he was down there to this issue?
So, well, he could have done both, right?
He has hurt himself on a variety of issues by being, in my non-political mind opinion, shockingly naive politically about what could work to his advantage.
I think if he went down there,
exactly,
the Republicans would have attacked him as using it
as a show.
I don't disagree with that, but the American public has focused on this crisis, I think, because it involves children, and these children are here. And the whole notion, can you imagine sending your children on this kind of a journey to get to where they are, and now they're sleeping in these? I mean, the whole thing.
Well, what's the problem? What is your alternative?
Not saying I don't know what the alternative is. I'm saying that Obama could be working this better to his advantage politically to get things done and make Republicans really look bad.
See, I don't agree with that. And I'm sorry for sounding vigorous about this, but I don't agree with it. I think, in fact, Obama has played this too perfectly. Not too much, not too little. Libby's absolutely right. He goes down to the border, everybody's going to say show off. If he doesn't go to the border, they're going to say he didn't go to the border.
No matter what he does.
What? They never went for a political fundraiser? What? The Bushes didn't go for political fundraisers every time you turned around somewhere?
Why does a governor like Andrew Cuomo feel it's important to fly over the tornado area to view the scene of the tornado?
And somebody will say you should have gone
absolutely
down on the ground.
So given the choice of that criticism or of not going to show your interest in the area, I'll take my chances that people are going to say you're only showboating, as opposed to those who are going to say, why weren't you interested enough to be here?
Well, we certainly disagree on this one.
Well, he was interested enough. He wants $3.7 billion to do something about it. You know, and you can have all the flyovers you want. And George Bush, I mean, we're going to talk about probably Ray Nagin later, and George Bush and his flyover of of New Orleans, and you know, it was a publicity stunt. He got skewered for it, but he didn't ask.
Brownie, you're doing a hell of a
right,
job.
Right, and he didn't ask for lots of money. You know what they did? And I'm proud of my son because he was part of this. FEMA's response was sending AmeriCorps to New Orleans. That was their response. And my son, who was 19 at the time, was running the Carnival cruise ship with one other kid who was 21 that they were putting people on. But that was their response. I'd rather the president spend time getting these people, I mean, I want to call them other things, the Republicans, to do the right thing and do the money so we can save these kids and enhance their quality of life, whatever it is, whether we send them back or not, we need to do something about it. And I just want to quote from this meme that I saw, and it says, if you think fertilized eggs are people, but refugee kids aren't, you're going to have to stop pretending your concerns are religious.
I like it.
Yep.
Well, I just think he could be using his bully pulpit better. I don't disagree with anything that you guys are saying about the opposition that he's faced, which is unprecedented in this country, and makes me fearful that whomever the next president is, Democrat or Republican, we're going to see the same kind of thing unless somebody wiser heads prevail regarding compromise and the like. But right now, I think that he has the ability to command media attention, to say what he wants, to take the higher ground, to put the Republicans in a corner, and he's not doing enough of it, and I think that that's hurting him. He's on his heels.
So, Ira, did the Democrats, I can't let you go by with this, did the Democrats with Reagan, Tip O'Neill, remember him, and Reagan, did they compromise more than the Republicans are compromising with Barack Obama right now?
Without question.
So it's not no matter who gets it.
Well,
it's,
I don't know.
There is a philosophy here. I mean, I happen to believe Hillary Clinton may well be the next president, and she's not going to take the kind of crap that is being offered by the Republicans right now.
Because she may well be able to handle it politically better than Obama has.
No, because, you know, you're one of those pictures of the football players with their hands out as they're blocking. You know, she'll block better.
And by the way, didn't the Democrats, and we would say because we are of like mind about this, didn't they try to block George W. Bush in much the same manner that the Republicans are trying to block Obama successfully?
I don't think they tried to get away with it the same way. I think that the Republican approach to Obama has been, we don't want this guy to be president.
No matter what.
They put a guy down. They said, my major job, says the Senate minority leader, is to get rid of him. This is not the kind of spirit that we want from our politicians. And it's one of the reasons why Congress has such a low reputation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't disagree with that, but I do think Obama could be more on the offensive than he has been.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll delve into the letters on this issue, and then we'll go to a break again for news. We'll be back right after this.
Support comes from Café La Perche, Hudson, New York, Boulangerie Lounge and Bistro, featuring European wine selections, courtyard dining, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. CaféLaPerche.com. Bel Air Music Festival, High Mount, New York, presenting the Bel Air Blues Festival, featuring Buddy Guy and Quinn Sullivan, Saturday, July 12th. BELLEAYRE music.org for tickets. Brattleboro Retreat, offering LGBT inpatient program providing mental health and addiction services for LGBT adults. BrattleboroRetreat.org. And Stone Soup Concrete, East Hampton, Massachusetts, specializing in concrete countertops, sinks, bathtubs, furniture, and architectural elements, serving the Pioneer Valley and New England. StonesoupConcrete.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable panel for this Thursday. And we're going to move on to other topics when we come back from our news break. But before we do that, we have letters on this particular topic in which we've been talking about the president going to Texas and the immigration issue. Alan Chartok.
Okay. Tom says the next president won't have the same problem because he/she will most likely be white. And Steve says, besides tearing the U.S. apart at the seams, I couldn't agree more with what Libby has stated towards Republicans. We won't let a woman own her own body and practice on it as she wishes for fear of ruining a life that hasn't validated itself yet. And yet we cannot help children screaming for help and attention whose lives are in jeopardy every day, period. Messed up, from Steve. And then from Walker, might there have been a serious security concern regarding a quick trip to the border? I'm not saying there aren't any other factors in play, but his security is generally planned far in advance, even weeks. It's much more than a safe flyover. That's from Walker.
All right. When it comes to
I read okay this time?
I've never had a problem.
The elocution was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got criticized for being too fast.
I got criticized for being too slow.
And for
mumbling.
Dipping.
Mumbling. Yeah, I don't know if it was a mumble or just a
it's going down
it going end. Down a beat.
And then there's the you-knowers who anti.
This is just like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It's too hot.
Right.
No, it's too cold.
That's
actually,
right.
Just
too
right.
Cold.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's a little too cold.
It's a little,
it's a little chilly in the studio, but as David Letterman would say, it keeps the comedy fresh.
Keeps it all fresh. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will move on to many other issues that we need to talk about, and we'll even throw in an extra topic, because I know Alan's chomping at the bit to talk about this, but the Emmy nominations.
Oh, just came out. Yeah. I'm excited to hear about them.
Who cares?
Is my son nominated this year? Probably
well, that's
not.
What I want to find
well,
out.
Probably not.
Oh, well, I'm sure you would have heard by now.
He may,
think?
Yes. Well, I would have heard, yes.
Yes, I think so. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Let me reintroduce the group to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here, political consultant Libby Post and Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld. Good morning, all. Thank you very much for being here, and most importantly, thank you for staying.
Yes, we're still here.
Good point.
It may speak to our sanity, doesn't
that's
it?
That's right.
Or lack of same.
Let us go to some letters, and then we'll move on to other topics.
Yes, letters. Okay. From Tracy. Mothers don't, quote, send their children to seek the pie in the sky of the U.S. border. Many, mostly boys, felt the need to contribute to their families within horribly impoverished Central American countries and set out on their own on a long, lonely, dangerous journey. And the answer, if they even make it, is to send them back. Perhaps we need put more into foreign policy to help the economies of these countries. Yes. And then Tom says, nice intonation, Alan. And let's see. I guess that's it. Do you have another one? Yeah. Matt just checked in. Joe, if you have not done so already, find a way to watch Orphan Black on BBC America. Enjoy the extraordinary acting of lead Tatiana Maslany and the unique, gripping, and enjoyable storyline. My wife and I came upon it by accident last month, and now it is the centerpiece of our evening. And that's from Matt.
Well, that was nice. A viewing suggestion. We would like you for the immediate moment to stick with listening to the radio, and you can write your letter roundtable@wamc.org. Let's talk about what is going on when it comes to off-label drug marketing rules. Should a pharmaceutical sales rep be allowed to tell a doctor that Topamax, a drug approved to treat seizures and prevent migraine headaches, might also combat alcohol dependence? Or suggest that an epilepsy drug could also help treat bipolar disorders or insomnia, or offer data showing that any number of other drugs could have uses beyond those listed on their labels? For decades, the answer overwhelmingly has been no. The Justice Department has aggressively pursued companies that run afoul of rules against such off-label marketing, racking up billions of dollars in settlements. And the Food and Drug Administration has held firm to the idea. But in the long-running conflict between federal regulators and drug makers, over how companies promote their drugs for unapproved uses, the landscape could be shifting if only in subtle ways, and the outcome could affect doctors and patients alike. Prompted in part by recent federal court decisions, the FDA is reviewing its rules on what kind of data drug companies should be allowed to distribute to doctors regarding off-label uses.
Well, it's interesting, Joe, because doctors have been doing this for a long time. They discover a drug that works in different ways than they were intended to, and, you know, they prescribe them. I've had off-label drugs prescribed to me, and they work. On the other hand, what's the sense in the FDA doing extensive testing, if you think about it, that allows a drug to go onto the market and you say, okay, but we're going to use it for something else which hasn't been tested for, the double blinds and all the rest. So and then, you know, you have the good doctors who know what they're doing and you have the bad doctors who don't know what they're doing. And that's a problem also.
I think that this is really dangerous, and it's one of those slippery slopes of using the First Amendment free speech for commercial purposes. We can't tell a marketing rep for a drug company what to do because then it'll impact the profits of the drug company. These drugs need to be tested. They need to be seen as being real.
They can test, and then you put a million people on them.
And they're like Vioxx.
It weakens the bones.
Right. You know, I mean, it's really what I find, and this is sort of a little bit of a tangent, is, you know, you see the new drugs being advertised. They create the need, these new drug advertisements, because you don't even know you have restless leg syndrome because you never even know that existed. And then they give you this whole long list of things that will happen. It might happen if you take the drug, and if it does, stop taking it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, why would you take it in the first place?
And, oh, by the way, your ears will bleed.
Right.
What happens when you don't trust anybody?
Well, I think that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, I would be, my inclination is to say that the government through the FDA is empowered to review these drugs before they're allowed to be put on the market. And so I'm willing to say, okay, they're my eyes and ears, and they are going to be the ones to approve it. Now, there are many of us who would also not trust the government if they told us that tomorrow is Friday. So there's that issue. Then the other issue, and the more significant issue, is the pharmaceutical companies, which have a stake in two things. One, producing product that works, but also making money. And we've seen...
I'd reverse that if I were you.
Okay. Well, I was 1 and 1A, as they might say at Saratoga when it opens next month. Are we able to trust
the
pharmaceutical... Oh, not that you're counting.
Next week. So
I don't know, but if I had to be pushed against the wall, I would say, look, the Federal Drug Administration is the one that I want to tell me what this drug is for and what it's good for and what the dangers are. And how many of us, by the way, listen to these commercials on TV that talk about the benefits of a certain drug, and then the speed reader comes on and says, may cause death or heart attack. I'm in favor, and I'm a child of the 60s, of using as few drugs as possible.
Speaking of Saratoga, this was a story 20 years ago. Remember the Mary Lou Whitney story?
Yeah.
Mary Lou Whitney, who is the, I don't know, what is she?
The
Doyenne
of Saratoga.
The head lady.
Yes. Right. And she announced that she used a prescribed vaginal cream to put under her eyes to prevent wrinkles. And somebody asked her, how do you look so good? How do you not have wrinkles?
I can see a whole lot of dirty jokes coming
out. Okay, right. No. But I'm saying is, like, that is, I remember that being like a big story. That was a huge story. But I mean, that's essentially what we're saying. You know, it's prescribed for one thing, and then you say, oh, look what this also does.
Yeah, but how
does
she
figure that?
She know?
I don't even want to know.
Well, it was estrogen.
Yes,
so
it was
one
estrogen,
would think
yes.
that, you know, putting estrogen on your skin would take away. I'm not quite sure. All I know is this, is that the Washington Post article points out Vioxx, popular painkiller, okay? It was illegally promoted for rheumatoid arthritis, and then it was found that it caused an increase in heart attacks.
Yeah, I took Vioxx after I had shoulder surgery some years ago, and it worked well. But if I had known then what I had subsequently heard about Vioxx, I probably would have not suffered through the pain. So
Ira, Virginia Fox wrote in, and she said something that is very relevant. She said, Ira, what if you don't trust anyone? And then said, there's a drug for that.
Excellent. Email me.
Yeah, that's nice, right. That's the, yeah. All right. Are we done on this issue?
Yes, except for one thing that I want to point out.
Yes.
Every time we have a doctor on Medical Monday, there are people who call up with all kinds of mashugana things that they use as cures for stuff.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people use a lot of things to help them along their way.
Yeah, but when doctors tell you to do it.
Yeah, so we make the mistake sometimes of thinking that doctors always know what they're talking about and are superhuman, individuals who deserve absolute. Look, I have people on all the time on Medical Monday, doctors who disagree with each other on almost everything.
Well, you had a story.
Well, that's healthy.
You had a story last week about red meat, cheese, fat.
Oh, the big fat.
Yeah,
right.
Good for your Teicholz diet, and you talk to somebody else,
things
and they'll
change.
Say, you know, no, it's the wrong thing to eat. You know?
Things change.
Yeah, it's.
Think of the cow.
And, well, there is that, but I try not to, actually.
Think of the cow.
Think of the cow.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about other issues, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from SPAC, presenting New York City Ballet, featuring the Ballet Gala, a tribute to Great Britain, July 12th, with SPAC Junior Committee hosting the lawn party, fireworks, after-party dancing, and more. This year, Fidelity sponsors Kids on the Lawn. SPAC.org. The Doan Stewart School, Rensselaer, New York, an early childhood through grade 12 coeducational day school offering college preparatory curriculum for more than 150 years, emphasizing creative and critical thinking, social responsibility, and discovery. DoanStewart.org. And Bridgeside Grill, Sunderland Center, Massachusetts, offering lunch and dinner daily and brunch on weekends, featuring seasonal outdoor dining. Member of CISA since 2007, BridgesideGrill.com for menu.
I've been walking through the mountains, I wandered through the trees for her. I've been trying to find her, wanna give what I've got. She lit a fire and now she's in my every thought.
Welcome back to the roundtable and our panel, and kudos to Dave Hopper. I'm loving the music this morning.
Are you?
Yeah.
What is that music?
Yeah, Lord Huron. What'd you say?
Who's that? Who is that?
Yeah. Alive at 5. That was what? That was the plug I was missing. It's Lord Huron, and they're performing at Live at 5 tonight.
Oh, I get it. Okay, that's great.
Sue Simmons and Chuck terrific. Scarborough.
I'm not getting into trouble again. That's terrific, Craig.
Don't get into trouble again.
They're wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Great. All right.
So is Williamstown.
Let's
move on.
Yes, please. You want to give us a sort of a troika of stories about what recent action within this country's grappling of the issue of gay marriage.
Sure. It's just, good things come in threes. A Colorado judge rules that the same-sex marriage ban is unconstitutional, and he's using the same decision that the Utah judge did in the Utah case. Even though Utah is appealing that to the U.S. Supreme Court. And so if that case goes all the way through, this could be the case that they say, okay, enough already. It's legal everywhere. And interesting enough, Judge Alito denied the county clerk's request in Pennsylvania to halt marriages, and so the Pennsylvania marriages have to go through. And I mean, I think that this is this Supreme Court's bone to the progressive community, in a sense. Look, we're giving you gay marriage, so leave us alone on everything else.
I like that, Libby. I think that is an absolutely correct analysis.
Oh, well, thank you. And then the other part is that Mike Pence, the governor, the Tea Party governor, and radical Christian rightist out of Indiana, is telling the state to refuse to recognize legal civil same-sex marriages because their state was wrapped up in one of the decisions where it was legalized. And so he's now going against federal law. So it's
civil disobedience, you mean?
Yeah. Well, he's telling them not to recognize them, not to extend the rights to the couples in Indiana that have already been married in the last few weeks.
So what do you think happens in a case like that?
It's going to go to the courts. And he's between a rock and a hard place.
Well, it's already gone to the courts.
I know, but it'll keep going back to the courts. But if he's in between a rock and a hard place, he wants to run for president. Yeah. So he's trying to pander to the Tea Party and the radical right and the more radical part of the Republican Party. Yet when he gets onto a national stage, if he wants to run for president, you can't be this rabid anymore. Because it doesn't play. It doesn't play in Peoria. Yeah. It just doesn't.
We go back to Fort Sumter.
Yeah. So it's just interesting stuff that's happening, and it's like every day something new is coming down the pike.
That's for sure. Every day there is
every
something
day.
New. And
yes.
It's fascinating to watch.
And the other thing is that almost every group, every LGBT rights group national, has pulled out of its support for ENDA.
Yeah,
the Human Rights Campaign.
So two issues I want to get to before we leave. One, Ray Nagin. You mentioned this earlier. Mm-hmm. Ray Nagin, former New Orleans mayor, sentenced to 10 years in prison, portrayed himself as a straight-talking anti-politician, determined to clean up the city's notoriously corrupt culture, was sentenced Wednesday to 10 years in prison for bribery, money laundering, and other corruption during his two terms. He made himself the public face of misery and suffering during Hurricane Katrina. And ultimately, and this is, I think, the saddest part of this, he was convicted of using his office to enrich himself with bribes from businessmen seeking his help, much of it for Katrina rebuilding. So,
why do you say saddest part of this? I mean, you know, the criminal justice system should put guys like that who are convicted, you know, into jail. It's not a happy thing that it happens, right? But on the other hand, it's very necessary that in order to avoid corruption, you put crooks in jail.
That's not what I meant.
I didn't mean to say.
Yeah, what I meant was, but the saddest part of this is that you would capitalize on a tragedy in your city.
Oh, I get it.
And that the money that you were putting into your pocket was on the backs of trying to rebuild the homes of people who were devastated in what is largely considered one of the greatest botched reactions to a natural disaster. And that, I think, the entire Katrina story is tragic and sad, right from the environmental aspect of it to the storm aspect of it to the response aspect of it, and then looking at rebuilding the city, and then you realize that they're getting screwed in that as well. So that's
the a case like this, on top of scores of other cases, similar, worse, some not as bad as others in this state. Cumulatively has the impact of making people distrust government. People distrust government instinctively anyway. But when you see these people who were put in charge, in this case of a major American city, do this kind of corruption, first of all, it just makes you shake your head and wonder where these people came from. And secondly, makes me, and I'm sort of, you know, I don't know how I feel about sentencing in general, but these kinds of crimes involving politicians make me say the maximum. No hope of getting out sooner than the maximum, because we have to do whatever we can possibly do to, A, convince the general public that when we find out about these crimes, we're going to take care of them and treat them seriously.
But let me jump in, because we only have a couple of seconds. I got to say that it is true that when they break the law blatantly and they speak into an FBI microphone and you catch them at it, it's, you know, throw them in jail, no question. But what about the rest of it? What about the idea that the whole system is developed so that people who have resources get more access than other people do, and they're not stupid enough to talk into a microphone.
I was going to say the rest of them in a different way. I was going to relate it to New York, where ethical issues are sometimes treated, maybe more often than not, with a wink and a nod. We need to take these cases seriously, and to your point, whether they're stupid enough to speak into a microphone or they're found out somehow else or they're not aggressively pursued, we've got to discourage people from doing this kind of thing on the public dime. It just is a killer for a nation that has a whole set of problems, and these are self-inflicted problems.
Anything else on that? All right. Hearing nothing, we go to the letters.
Okay, we got one from Rosalind. Good morning. To add to the discussion of off-label uses, here is a slightly different take. Doctors will sometimes prescribe a drug to utilize one of its well-researched side effects. Years ago, my doctor told me this will be more common in the future. Maybe we are here.
Yeah. All right.
That's what I got.
Excellent. So let us now go to, we have 5 minutes, and Alan, I know you're going to hate us for this, but we're going to do it just real quickly. The Emmy nominations are out, and I only know Alan's reaction because we were talking about it earlier.
My reaction is, you know, I got to bed at 7:30 at night, and I don't watch any television. So I could be up at 3 o'clock to do the people's work. And
we're a guy.
Okay. And what are you watching at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Channel 58, the old movie channel.
Right. Okay.
The old movie channel.
But you could.
And they have noir mysteries on there better than anything that comes out now.
Okay. Well, let's not debate Alan's TV watching habits. Let's just talk about the Emmy nomination.
Best comedy series.
That's a good point.
Big Bang Theory. Louie.
Yeah.
Lewis. Modern Family, Orange is the New Black, which somebody will have to explain to me how that got to be a comedy series, Silicon Valley, and Veep.
Well, contrary to Alan's belief that I do nothing but watch TV, I have only seen Veep. I do not watch those other programs, and Veep is hysterical, and it's well-written and well-acted. But so there.
Your son is in the industry,
my
right?
My son is in the industry.
So you're an apologist for the industry, aren't you?
No, I think there's a lot of crap in the industry, perhaps more crap than not. I think most of the good programming now is on cable or the Netflix kinds of channels.
So. Only Big Bang Theory and Modern Family on a traditional network.
Yeah, and yes. By the way, I think my daughter-in-law, my son's wife, she's a costume designer, and her program I was watching last night, now that's on ABC Family Channel, and it's a cute program, but it could be so much better if they were able to put it on a channel where you could really go to town with it. So the networks have limitations that the cable channels do not.
I say it's all garbage.
Libby, because I watch all of these shows, but what do you think?
Well, I don't.
I'm going to go to drama in a minute.
Okay,
so.
I can't give you an answer of why Orange is the New Black should be considered a comedy. It's, is it the fact that lesbians in jail are funny? I'm not quite sure about that.
But it's not a funny show.
It's not a funny show.
No, it's a weird thing. There's funny aspects to it, but there aren't most.
And that's right. Interesting that you say that, Libby. So do you think that they're playing on, some of the traditional?
Because they did the same thing with
what?
Nurse Jackie and
other
shows.
It's my understanding that the show enters the competition and puts itself in the category it chooses
to
be.
Yes.
Yeah, well. It's the same with Shameless, which is hardly a comedy, is in the comedy series. House of Lies, the Don Cheadle program.
Yeah.
It's got some humor in it, but it's more serious than funny, in my opinion.
Comedies are Mary Tyler Moore
All
in the Family.
In Modern Family.
Or
Modern
Family.
And Big Bang Theory.
Real quick,
best drama series, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, House of Cards, Mad Men, and True Detective. That is some really good television.
That's heavy stuff. Yeah. I saw True Detective. I saw House of Cards. I've not seen the rest, but those two were excellent programs. How do you it's the old story. How do you select? What's the criteria? Yeah. They're all good programs.
Too bad you can't have everybody a winner.
Yes, they were all winners. It's just a thrill to be nominated. I'd like to thank the Academy for giving me the opportunity to make a comment about that.
And we'll leave on that. On those words, we will leave on those words.
I only have one thing to say. Garbage.
Garbage.
I have one more thing to say.
Yeah, what?
You don't watch
relaxation.
It, you don't.
Yes.
Relaxation. You know, I am a TV addict, and Lynn would like to turn it off at times, but now we have this nice big TV with surround sound, and it makes me very happy because at the end of the day, after being pummeled by everyone else, I just want to watch.
Yeah.
And not have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I would like the listeners to volunteer to teach Alan how to work a DVR.
Yeah, well,
I can do that.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.